I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the frim fram sauce with the os and fay, with shafafa on the side. Shoot do de do ya do do.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's word on food is caviar. You don't eat caviar because you're hungry, but the portion set before us at a dinner the other night was certainly capable of staving off a serious quantity of pang. We all eyed the curvaceous morsels of edible hedonism. They were caviar-stuffed chive-tied crepes, perched upon the base of empty, overturned, long-stemmed Riedel wine glasses. This caviar presentation was done in the style of the legendary Beggar's Purses, as created by Chef Barry Wine, the once-upon-a-gilded-time owner of the Quilted Giraffe restaurant of New York City. I'd heard Chef Wine used to insist that his guests used no hands, nor even forks or spoons when eating the caviar-plumped purse. He also, it has been told, favored taking pictures of some of his clientele who were instructed to put on elegantly designed handcuffs he had created by a Manhattan artisan for these moments of divine decadence. The mode d'emploi, he instructed, had the guests leaning way over, face first, with their arms cuffed behind them, taking said purse between their lips and then, standing upright, consuming the luxurious cargo within the dainty crepe. I did not wait for anyone's insisting on such from me. I picked up my beggar's purse with one hand and enjoyed it tremendously, had a gulp of champagne with the other, 1995 Krug, by the way, and finished it, followed by some more of the Krug. In the movie Titanic, there is the one dining scene where the action hero, Jack Dawson, played by Leonardo DiCaprio, is allowed to dine with the first-class guests, which include his gorgeous new love interest, Rose, her driven mother, her lousy fiancé, a few other dandies, and the woman known as the unsinkable Molly Brown. Miss Brown helps young Jack overcome the hostile snobbery being directed at him. He sees a half dozen pieces of cutlery on each side of his plate, and his eyes start to swim. The caviar service begins, and she whispers, "Just start from the outside and work your way in." The mother of pearl's spoon is in front of him, and he, instead, waves off the waiter, bearing the beluga, uttering, "I don't like caviar." Jack sank a boatload of my respect. Sturgeon have been in the waters of the earth for over 250 million years. It is not clear when people first created and consumed what became known as caviar, but its first written record was from the time of Batu Khan, the grandson of Genghis Khan, in the 1240s. Local rulers by the Volga River employed sturgeon masters. Sturgeon is the largest fish to enter fresh water. The beluga variety of sturgeon is a fish that is at least 20 years old before the roe are harvested. That is much larger than the other prized varieties, which include Ocetra, Golden Ocetra, and Sevruga. The beluga sturgeon can attain a weight of 2,500 pounds at that age, of which 10% is roe. Ka-ching! Greed and insensitive resource management nearly crushed caviar. But times have changed somewhat for the better. It is a matter of personal taste which is better in regards to the varieties, but malasal is a must to most, a term meaning little salt. The presence of salt preserves caviar, but masks the flavors. World-class caviar should be served as simply as possible. Forget chopped eggs, capers, and onions. Handcuffs, though, are optional. I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food.